Hi, and welcome to Performance Talks. I'm Jeanette Bishops, and in this episode, I get to talk with Beatrix Roof. Roof is the director of Hartwick Art Foundation, where she oversees the vision and realization of its new contemporary art museum in Amsterdam, which is currently under construction. Previously, Beatrix served as the director of the Stedelijk Museum Amsterdam and director of Kunsthalle Zürich. In this conversation, we discussed the need to rethink the economy and infrastructure of museums to allow for performance and interdisciplinary experimentation, the specifics of how the cultural production scene of Amsterdam functions, and her plans for the new museum in Amsterdam. As I mentioned in the conversation, my time at the Stedelijk under Roof's leadership was one of the main inspirations for me to start this podcast. So this meeting was extra special to me, and I hope you enjoy it too. I've been speaking to a range of artists and curators and writers and photographers, videographers who are dealing with performance in one way or another and thinking about its afterlives. And so today I'm speaking to you, Beatrix Roof, director of the Hartwick Art Foundation in Amsterdam. I really highly respect your curatorial and directorial practice, but I was really lucky to be working at the Stedelijk in, I think, the last year you were director of the museum. And I was mostly dealing with the time-based media department with Karen Archie. Yeah, that time was really, really formative for me, being involved with this setting up of a department in a visual arts institution dedicated to performance and dance and audio and video. And it made me really deeply consider what it means to want to take care of artwork that, when there is not a best practice infrastructure for it yet. So it also really sparked my drive to start this Performance Talks series. So thank you for sitting down with me. I've been asking this first question to everyone. I'm wondering how you got here as a visual art curator championing performance and performing arts. And I know that you can never really trust Wikipedia, but during my research, read your Wikipedia, and I read that you studied dancing at the conservatory in Vienna, and you were a choreographer before you started working in visual arts.
That is true. I started at the conservatory in Vienna as well. But parallel, I was studying also at the academy and like in the museological department. So I think from the very beginning, I was not so much interested in one specific medium, but interdisciplinary practices. And that choreography education was a very good thing for me to find out how to collaborate and how to integrate also our, you know, cross-disciplinary work with people. And I did that for quite a while, and I found out that actually, you know, for me, it was a kind of a very natural movement from choreography to curating, frankly. Yeah, from the very beginning, I was not interested in hierarchizing media. And I think when you think of the 20th century, like from the beginning of the 20th century, cross-disciplinary, interdisciplinary working in the arts has been very, the always very exciting areas. You know, think of Dada and Surrealism, or, you know, Thunaumann and the Judson Church. I mean, there's lines of contemporary art always looking over the edge of one bound to one medium. And that's what I was interested in, working with people from different disciplines and also creating space for different disciplines in institutional contexts. For me, all of this is very much based in the conceptual art practice, I think. And as I said, the cross-disciplinary always was really what I thought was very exciting. You know, I think if you think of how translations happen into material in the let's say in the classical medium, in painting, sculpture, photography also, and how translation happens in in time-based media. And I always thought that's a very interesting relationship, where you start to define something as the artwork to come to existence, and what the timeline for that is. And I think the relationship between time-based arts and classical mediums of translation into materials has probably always been at the core, actually, of artistic practice. And that's how I was, really also thinking institutional practice always. That's the development, the experiment, the procedures and processes of how artworks come into existence are a very relevant element of institutional practice as well.
Yeah, because it was also under your directorship that the Stedelijk Museum started its time-based media department, correct?
Yeah, yes, actually, yes, we hired Karen Archie then. But don't forget, the Stedelijk has in the 60s and 70s been very, very closely related to particularly interdisciplinary, cross-disciplinary art, was as a few others, like the Walker or the Kunsthaus Zurich at that time, or the MoMA was later, I think, started a video collection. So that years, mm-hmm. and particularly the relationship of the local art production, think of the Apple also, and also the collaboration the Stedelijk at that time had with the Apple in terms of a residency and co-producing with the Apple, not only film, but also performance. I did a general idea show last year in the retrospective in the Stedelijk, and for them, Amsterdam was the entrance into the international art world, and that had to do with production means of the Apple and Stedelijk sharing their residency and bringing in contact with a lot of artists working in Amsterdam, and they were all related to interdisciplinary and all to the media crossing practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Stedelijk Museum has had amazing, I think, programming in performance, but it didn't have a dedicated time-based media department. So why was that an important move to make for the museum at that time, do you feel?
Because, first of all, the time-based media is part of the media conceptions, I really do think, is contemporary art is about. And I do think that a lot of artists in the tradition of the modernist and reflecting, criticizing, and developing further modernist ideas are cross-disciplinary artists. They don't only work in one medium. And given the fact that the Stedelijk has that strong collecting activities from the 60s and 70s, and that has never been really brought to the forefront. And given the fact that contemporary artists work in a production range from film to sculpture, from performance to painting. Think of Anne Imhoff, where every single medium you can think of, music, film, painting, performance, a sculpture is in one work of art. And I just think it is a really relevant, it's the basis of contemporary art, that it is cross-media and that it is multimedia in the biggest sense. So, and there is a lot, a lot in collections often, there's a lot of grounds that are not being looked at because a lot of things come into collections because of personalities being involved in the collecting of an institution. And so time passes and ideas go away. And we were in the process of really looking at also which histories and stories are in the collection, which stories had been ended and why, and which one had been continued and why. It was really part of the, reflecting on the collection of the Stedelijk Museum and trying to learn from the things that are in there and the things have been put to sleep without no reason, except for possibly that someone left the institution.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, how did you think about starting a new department within a museum? Like, what does that entail?
That's the biggest question. Because, the departmentality of institutions, of course, is always a bit of a problem. So basically, you never have posts until someone leaves or, retires even. As often, and in the Netherlands, it's very, very uncommon that people leave, and someone is in this daily definitely never wants to leave again. So you are in a constant process of trying to rename things and reorganize things. There is a lot of material that is put in relationship to a department which is not active, actually. And I think the actual possibility to enter was the video collection, the film on video collection, because that existed and had a weight to claim importance also for the collecting activities and also for the development of research in the institution. And plus, Karen's post was an expression of also ideas for programming that we really wanted to have an institution which actually is a place for interdisciplinary activities and, public and live programs in relationship to exhibitions. Think of the Tino Segal, 1 year of Tino Segal we did at the Stedelijk 2015, where basically the collection was moved through 1 year of changing Segal interventions in the collection display. And for me, that was one of the really important projects also in terms of how the departments had to, start to work together and how decision-making in relationship to departmental understanding works. And that was part of the preparation, really. All of that was part of a preparation of how the museum with two levels dedicated to collections can represent. There's three levels, and one level we wanted to dedicate fully to changing exhibitions, and the lower level galleries and the ground floor fully to a continuous changing work with the collections. And movement, life, time-based relationship to the collection was at the core of this thinking for changing this display system. And I thought that was very exciting. And Tino helped us a lot by moving the collection for a year.
So the Hartwig Art Foundation's programming has also been quite performance heavy. I know that you have planned already to open a space in Amsterdam Zuid. But meanwhile, you've been programming works on offsite venues, like different theaters in the Paradiso in Amsterdam and Magba in Barcelona. And you presented works by Julien Crusade during the last Performa in New York, and presented work by Wu Tsang at Atkins, Meredith Monk. It's just a fraction of your programming that you've already done. And I mean, I think I know the answer already, but I think your interest in time-based and performance art, is it informed by the lack of a dedicated gallery space at the moment, or is there more at play when it comes to your current support for this type of work?
Both, actually. First of all, there's a lot. We mentioned before that contemporary artists so often work with a whole range from everything from music, film, to sculpture. And I've always had that cross multidisciplinary interest. And it's an amazing thing to be able to develop an institution from scratch and to think about what would it mean if you besides, you know, with dreams of building a sustainable museum and building a museum who is the home for everyone we can think of or not think of, what would that mean to really make it an institution which is fully interdisciplinary in all means, in the means of spatial proposal, spatial infrastructure also, but also in the means of the actual functioning of the institution. And that means economy of how things are being produced. And we all know that most of the institutions are not prepared for the economy of contemporary time-based practice. You know, like that's one of the hugest. I remember that how massively complicated it was to do the Tino Segal show, not because Tino Segal is a complicated artist, but because it's such a totally different processes and procedures, and you know, because you're in the you're involved in the translation of something into becoming an artwork, and usually you transport an artwork in or out, but not develop it on site. You know, rehearsal time in a museum is incredibly complicated to organize. And so thinking about that institution, that new institution, and we intentionally call it a museum because we want the museum to be a place where this all of that can happen, and you can only talk about what needs to happen according to our ideas in a museum to actually continue the legacy of contemporary art and not present the confirmed already only. On the way of saying what, you know, what do we get involved in, on the way of before we become a place, it made sense to get involved in all possibilities. So the Meredith Monk show, of course, is kind of a reversal almost of the time base, because we did the retrospective on Meredith Monk in the Oude Kerk. I worked on that from 2019 on. So from the very beginning, the foundation even started only. And so basically we translated an artist who was closely involved with the beginnings in the 60s of the so-called interdisciplinary around the Judson Church, not Judson Church, into a visual art show. But in the Oude Kerk, in the oldest building of Amsterdam. But also we wanted to understand how the time-based culture in Amsterdam and beyond Amsterdam works. So working with the Schauspielhaus Zürich and bringing Wutzang to the Holland Festival is also a sign that specific things in the context of the cultural production scene of Amsterdam functions a lot through festivals. So, and that is a very specific idea of time-based, you know, the idea of the festival. And how does that relate to an ongoing work in an institution long-term? So very interested in also looking at, you know, what does it mean in terms of working with people? What does it mean in terms of staff? What does it mean in terms of how artists are allowed to develop and produce? So it's amazing that we can, you know, collaborate with so many different. We now started also to collaborate with the opera on the Julien Grasset Anna P piece, what was in their new space, in the Bookman space. And I think it's extremely exciting to also learn how the cultural fabric of the city we will place this museum functions in. And for the Hartwig Art Foundation, for the museum we are building now, the place we're building now, we are in a unbelievable lucky situation, because we got that former courthouse of Amsterdam, which has an incredible architecture to start with, which basically translates a lot of the things I was thinking about when I was asked to do a proposal. You know, there's a office tower we can transform into offices, but also new offices in a different way. But also we actually will have spaces to people stay in the museum. And we have the former courtrooms that are super monument, and you cannot really, you know, do the classical exhibition formats in there, but they are extremely beautifully proportioned. They have amazing acoustics, something that is often not been taken care of in institutions. And they're perfect for projects, but also for hosting other institutions and maybe archives, which we are thinking a lot about. And we will have spaces that, quite a few spaces actually, including a specifically developed space for music, from anything from production to listening, or recording to listening. But we will have spaces that can transform from, you know, being a theater to a performance space, to a public space, to an exhibition space, and back again. So, and we will have a lot of space which is not dedicated to a specific function and can also serve for rehearsal, can serve for production without necessarily bringing things to the ticket counter right away. So a lot of process and research-oriented possibilities are inbuilt in the programming of the museum spaces already.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear, because I know that you always were thinking about kind of challenging the format of the exhibition. It sounds like you're continuing to think about that, but also I feel like you must be learning a lot from collaborating with these other venues. And yeah, you're like actually not working against what I think a lot of institutions do. They're working kind of against an older system, or they're trying to maintain an older system, which is not working anymore for these like new types of media that artists are dealing with. Will you continue to be collaborating with other venues when you open?
Yeah, definitely. And also we become a venue. You know, when you think of the festivals, for example, we can in the future also be their venue if they want. You know, my hope is really that on the way to the opening, that we build very strong and lasting relationships that go beyond that very simple, only economy-driven collaborations that are around in the field, so that it really is long-lasting. And this is something, this is also why we started to, you know, to work with Performer. And on one hand, I was really thinking of educating people also to work in with time-based media and with time-based art, and artists who want to produce in a different way than classically in their studio. And so we developed this fellow program where one fellow is always producing, curating with Performer, and the other fellow is actually looking at the archive, because I really do also think that time-based archives are a very, very important things to not only think about, but also to work with. And I have mentioned before that the 60s, 70s, of course, in the Netherlands, and particularly in Amsterdam, there is such a crucial and important time. And there is a lot in the archives here, which is underexposed. And so I'm taking an intentional detour through New York, of course, with the come back to this Judson Church thing, just as a example of where many people can imagine what multidisciplinary work is, because we have Sarah and Simon Forti. Everybody immediately understands what you're talking about. So we're taking a bit the detour to look at archives on bigger scale. And hope to really develop a long-term program also with not only Performer, other archives as well, but definitely our hope is, and that's what we're discussing with performers so far, that there will be an archive, a presence in Amsterdam, in our institution, and hopefully it becomes kind of a good practice example for how one can work with time-based archives. That's a big hope we have to, and what we would really like to develop. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was also, I mean, specifically about that partnership that you announced with Performa. You speak a bit about this in the statement on the website on this important historical connection between New York and Amsterdam.
And besides the real historical connection, as we know. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, like that for me, being from Amsterdam and living in New York and with this talk series has been kind of a threat for me as well. And I think when it comes to performance and conceptual art and dance, the 70s was, as you have mentioned before, a really great time for performing and performance art in the Netherlands, with the Apple Art Center was founded by Wies Smalls in 75. And you had Doreen Mignon at the Stedelijk Museum of Amsterdam. She was amazing.
And Wim, do you know Wim? There was so much at that time.
Yeah. And then there were a few artists like Marina Abramović, who is based in New York now, but she was based in Amsterdam for many years. I just recently discovered that Bill T. Jones, the dancer choreographer, was based in Amsterdam for a bit. Mm. There were many more. Can you speak a bit about why this particular connection to New York felt important to you to partner with, an institution or an organization such as Performa?
Yeah, I think, again, for several reasons, but one was, I really do think that Worsley's idea of doing a performance biennale, which is based on the specific relationship to the visual arts, I thought that was an amazing thing. And she's the legendary, as we know, legendary person who defined performance art in the context of visual arts. And yeah, I thought that this project and these institutions, I would call it, would be a great partner to build many things and also for Amsterdam. I think it's a historical institution, mm-hmm. and I think it's great to be associated and be collaborating with them. The Apple is unfortunately not doing so much in that field anymore, but there's a lot of education, which is great.
Yes, I'm just thinking like what a partnership with Performa like this like can accomplish when it comes to like taking care of performance legacies, but also about educating. How will that look like when the building opens?
It can take many, many forms, you know. Like, first of all, we hope to have more fellows actually making the experience in how this specific production. That means that as a curator or producer or producing curator, which I like a lot as a term, how far and diverse actually artistic production can be. That people, it's a training. It's a training and also a system of networking, because you need to know totally different things than a conservator or someone who can do a label or someone who can do material research. If you have to learn to produce, to be curatorially involved producing interdisciplinary time-based art. And the other level is the archive and the continuation of how to work with the ephemeral and with what does documentation mean. The request, again, of another economy towards an archive of time-based art or an archive of objects. And I think institutions have to learn a lot about that, because there is a real a problem of misunderstanding how the economy of institutions has to be built if you are really properly interdisciplinary. A lot of things also, besides the background in choreography and interdisciplinary working, was also when we did the Yokohama Triennale 2008, where we everything based on performance coming from the Gutai. And a lot of those artists already you could see, oh, what's their archive going to be? You know, what's their legacy? Joan Jonas was, that was one of the first shows. Joan Jonas actually came back into the world of visual arts again after having taught all her life. And there's so different conditions you have to create institutionally if you really want to integrate cross-disciplinary works. And I think that is something we still have to learn a lot, and where we hope in looking at many different institutional practices, but also collaborating with many institutional practices, that we can start making proposals maybe when we become an institution ourselves.
Yeah, I was also wondering about just your general ambitions as a curator and a director of caring for artists' legacies, and maybe also especially when it comes to performance work. And I'm thinking about what I was also reading on your website, that the objective of Hartwig Art Foundation is also really to add works to the Rijks collection and to the collection yes. of the Netherlands, which I think is it's very interesting. And I was wondering if you could speak a bit more about that.
Yeah, I'd love to speak about that. it's very interesting for me also to look back a bit and see what was it I have done with institution or in institutions, or when I had was given the possibility to do something in the institution. And I had to say that I, besides the format of exhibitions or what an exhibition in the end is, I always was interested in infrastructural conditions. So I think collecting is a wonderful thing, and it was an important thing. But I had my questions about what local ownership really means. You know, what does that do to the institutional practice? What does it do to the understanding of an institution? And what does it, in the end, do to the whole context an institution sits in? And as you probably know, ownership models in when you open the field of art to a more diverse background, ownership models change very fast by the request of artists, but also just by the sheer diversity how materials and the owner, the possibility to own material is understood. Thinking of one work, for example, we collected from Edgar Kalel, which is an installation, and we acquired it with the foundation, but we don't own it. We're only the custodian. And after a certain amount of time, the artist can decide if you continue to be the custodian or not. And that was, I think like reading the world means that I think we continuously have to think about what is that? What do we consider to be our heritage? What do we consider to be the importance in building cultural heritage? And for me, art always was relevant if it had collective relevance and played part of an understanding also of a collective. In terms of the relationship, but also the ownership of its culture. So I thought, why not go directly to the ownership of the country? And of course, the Netherlands already had that really interesting virtual project of the Collectie Nederland, which is not a real collection, but which is an idea about all the collections in the country, and which basically is an ethical basis for all the people in institutions who collect to look at what's already in that collection of the Netherlands and to say, do we add, do we double things, or do we make a real relevant extension of it, or are we just playing around with, oh no, our own ego, because we also want a Jeff Wall, or we also want a Mondrian, or we also want this or that. And I really always liked this as an attitude. And I'm very happy that the Rijkscollectie and the Ministry of Culture and Heritage were interested in it. And I hope that, well, the first ones, not the last ones, hopefully.
So how does that specifically look like practically? Will all the works that you want to donate, will they be acquired by that collection?
No, the we basically donate, and of course the Rijkscollectie has the right to reject. If we say please take this house into your collection, they might say no. But the Hartwig Art Foundation and the museum with the Hartwig Art Foundation in the future, we do collect, but we also do produce a lot with artists, and all of the works we acquire are promised gifts for the Rijkscollectie, and we're working on a continuous transfer to the Rijkscollectie. And once we are open as a museum, we will be able to work with this collection as any other museum too. So we can loan from the Rijkscollectie, or we can also ask something for a longer loan. But the works, the ownership of the works will be with the Rijkscollectie in the end, as a donation from the foundation.